All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, we are riding solo, and we're going to be talking about how to get rid of a victim mindset, which is something that was plaguing my whole life for many, many years and kept me stuck for many, many years. And the only reason I was able to progress forward in my health, in my fitness, in my relationship, in my career was because I've got out of that mindset. And so I'm going to share a little personal story that is a true story, just so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from with the lessons that I'm about to share with you. So as many of you know, I was a caregiver to my late partner who, you know, passed away from breast cancer just over 3 years ago now. And as I started to become her caregiver, what a lot of people don't know is that I was a hippie, right? I traveled around Canada hitchhiking, like being on the side of the road with my thumb in my backpack and just kind of moving around. I ended up in Vancouver. I met Jen, who's my late partner. And within 3 months of us dating, she gets diagnosed with cancer. But the whole time that we were dating, I was sleeping on other people's couches because, again, I was just traveling here. And then when she got diagnosed, I made the decision because I loved her. I wanted to be there for her. I wanted to care for her throughout this journey. I was like, well, we need to have a home. We need to have a place to live. And so I basically rented an apartment, which was I was 22 years old when she got diagnosed. Yeah, 21 turning on 22. And I've never had an apartment before because I had always kind of just traveled around, hitchhiked and stayed on people's couches. And so that was my first apartment. It was my first time having an obligation of paying rent. On top of that, it was my first time living with a girl. On top of that, she had cancer. And on top of that, I had to be the provider financially of everything. And so it was a lot of stress on me at once. And it was very challenging for me to adapt to that level of stress at such a young age with all the conditions that I was being faced with. And ultimately, throughout the first few years, I was like, okay, I'm going to work hard. I've always been a hard worker. I had my jobs, I had my things that I did to try to make money, to try to be able to provide for her, to be there for her emotionally and psychologically. But there was always a little bit of me that was stuck in that victim mindset of, oh, poor us, here's what we're going through. And in the hopes that there would be someone, again, it's the analogy of the knight in shining armor, someone that would come and just give us all the money that we needed for a treatment, someone that would come and kind of take care of the whole situation. And it took me many, many years to accept that no one was coming and that I had to be the person to step up to become that person. Because I had a really good friend of mine and that's very close to my heart that has made a tremendous difference. When Jen was going through her cancer healing journey, he basically gave me a job. He helped me financially. He helped me find a home at one point because we had nowhere to live. He really took me under his wings, a little bit older than I am. And I started to rely on him. I started doing some side jobs for him because he said he would pay me more than if I got a job. And then I would do it. And then he was like kind of had his moments of struggle financially because, again, he took me under his wing and he wasn't necessarily in the best of position. But because he was one of my best friends, he wanted to help me out. And so I was kind of stuck in that limbo of like, hey, you know, you mentioned you would help me, but I know you're stuck, but not like I'm really stuck. And it kind of started to tarnish our relationship. And I just hated it so much. I was like, man, I'm waiting on one of my best friends to help me. And then Jen and I were doing fundraiser events and trying to raise money for her cancer treatments because, you know, I was like, I was making what? Like, I think my first few years of her getting cancer, I was working at a smoothie bar. I was maybe making like $12,000 a year. And then I got my first corporate job, you know, 2 years before she passed away, ultimately, like a year and a half before she passed away. And that's when I started to making more money. I think my contract was like $50,000 for the year, but it still wasn't enough for all the treatments that we were paying ultimately. But what I'm trying to say is I started relying on my friend or the fundraiser event for people to kind of help us. And I got sick of being in the energy of need and of relying on other people because it wasn't their responsibility to take care of Jen and I. Like, it was our shit. And again, I was 22 years old, turning 22 when I embarked on all of this. So I'm just, you know, I didn't really get to experience my 20s like a normal person did. I kind of was just thrown into the heavy end of things. And there's a lot of lessons that I kind of skipped or life experiences that I skipped. And I had to go straight to being a caregiver and dealing with big situations. But man, when that moment clicked in my head of like, I love the people around me, but it is not their responsibility to save me. It is not their responsibility to take care of Jen. It is my responsibility. I choose to be there as a caregiver and I'm going to take things into my own hand. And then ultimately that's when I basically started Fit Vegan and we started to do it to do a lot better financially. And I was able to pay for the cancer treatments. I was able to provide for her. I was able to offer her a quality of life that I wish I would have been able to offer her the moment she got sick. And, you know, a part of me sometimes questions that if I would have stepped up earlier on when she got diagnosed, that maybe she wouldn't have passed away. And again, for those of you that have had a loved one pass away, you know, those little thoughts kind of creep in the back of your head. But ultimately, I believe that everything happens for a reason and that this journey was meant to be this way. I've gotten so many confirmations that Jen was there to help me go to the next chapter of my life and I was there to help her with the last chapter of her life. Man, it's making me tear up talk about this. So learning that lesson that I had to step up, I had to take care of the situation and that no one was coming to save me is the thing that drastically changed the quality of my life and ultimately helped me drastically change the quality of care that I was able to provide to Jen at the time. And so the reason why I'm sharing this story with you and in your life may not be as extreme as my scenario was, or maybe it is. But here's a piece of advice that will serve you. No one is coming to save you. It is not anyone else's responsibility to make you happy. It is not anyone else's responsibility to get you to lose fat so that you can be in a healthy position. It is not anyone else's responsibility to get you fit so that you can enjoy your life to the fullest. It is not everyone else's responsibility to get you to make more money so you can better take care of yourself and your family and have a beautiful future. Like all of these things are your own responsibility. And the longer you kind of deny that, the longer you try to justify to yourself that like, hey, maybe one day I'll win the lotto. Maybe one day someone will kind of come and do all of this work for me. Well, you're going to come to the realization that is never going to happen. And if you want to take control of your life, if you want to take control of your health, if you want to take control of your body, of your relationship, of your career, of your finances, it is your own responsibility to start to take ownership for your life, to take action for your life. I just, and this is a little bit off topic, but I just recorded a podcast this morning with a vegan business podcast. And they asked me a really great question about working for someone else and working for yourself and all that stuff. And I shared the story that my last corporate job before I started Fit Vegan, I had worked there for maybe like 6-7 months and I was one of their top employees. And one day I got called into office as I come into work in the morning. And mind you, I have a company car, which I'm using to drive my late partner to her cancer treatments. That is how I'm paying for the cancer treatments with that job. They come in and they just said like, hey, we have to let you go. We basically made bad financial decisions. You're the last person hired and you have to go. And I was so upset because I did everything right. But my faith was in the hands of another adult. And it really clicked for me at that point that like, screw putting my future, my health, the well-being of my family in the hands of another adult. I need to take ownership of my life and my future and the future of my family. And I promised myself that I would never work for someone else after. So the only reason I'm sharing this is there's one component that you have to take ownership of your life, but also don't delegate, don't put that responsibility on other people to hopefully get you healthier, make you work out, right? Like, we run one of the tops world whole food plant-based body recomposition coaching program. I do not do the squats for my clients. I do not do the push-ups for my client. I do not eat their Buddha bowl for them. What we do is we build the most streamlined and efficient structure for them to be able to get to their goal as sustainably and rapidly as possible. And most importantly, we help them stay on track so that they can actually reach their goal. But we do not do the workouts for them. We do not eat the food for them. That is their responsibility. That is their journey. That is their path to take, their lessons to learn, to be able to get that outcome for themselves. And so don't count on someone coming to save you, because even if there's someone that shows up and knocks on your door and goes like, hey, again, just a random name, it's like, hey, Jessica, I'm here to do your squats and your push-ups for you today. I'm here to cook your food and eat it for you today. You're still not going to get fitter. They will get fitter because they're doing the work. And so the reason I'm sharing that is get out of the victim mindset. And there's a few of you that are going to be listening that are going to be ignoring what I'm sharing because you're not ready to hear it. There's another group of you that will be hearing it and will be offended, and beautiful. At least you're aware that you have a victim mindset. And there's a third group of you that have already realized that you've been in that mindset and that you need to make a change for yourself. And I invite you to take immediate action on creating that change for yourself. Start to take ownership of your life, especially if you have kids, especially if you have a family. I can't tell you how many parents we've spoken to throughout the years, genuinely thousands and thousands of calls of people is like, well, I can't start working out and eating healthy because of my kids. I'm taking care of them. I'm like, your kids are the exact reason why you should take care of you. Your kids are literally molding and copying what you are doing. I saw this video online where it was, I would just say like an average looking American that wasn't healthy, that was packing a lunch for their kid with fruit roll-ups. And it's like, hey, here's a serving of fruit, a Gatorade. It was like some Kit Kats and I think a Lunchable, which is like the meat and cheese and sandwich thingy. And I was so like, I had mixed feelings about the video because I can tell in that mom's energy, I can tell in her voice that she loved her kids so much and she was so excited to prepare them a lunch for school because it was a sign of love for her. But I could also tell that she didn't necessarily have the knowledge as to how to fuel herself properly and therefore her kids properly, and that she didn't in herself start taking action towards bettering herself, which would ultimately translate to her kid. Your kids, your partner, the people you love are the reason why you should get out of a victim mindset. They're the reason why you should take care of yourself. Because, hey, I've lived it firsthand, and some of you listening have potentially lived it as well. If you've taken care of someone that you love, it is the hardest thing ever to see someone that you love suffer and you can't do anything about it to save them. To me, that sense of powerlessness completely destroyed me for 4.5 years. And so, you know, how often, like some of you are caring for your dad, some of you are caring for your mom, you're caring for an elder parent that's sick. Man, like you wish that they had taken better care of themselves when they were younger so that they don't end up in that position. Because think of it this way, if you're always putting yourself last to put other people first, several years down the line, those people that you put first will be forced to put you first. They'll be forced to take care of you and to see you get sick and to see you suffer. If you really love the people around you, you would take care of your health. You would take care of your body. You would start to prioritize your own wellness because, man, if you really love someone, never put them in a position where they have to see you suffer and they have to take care of you, and they have to see you go through so much hardship, because that destroys a partner. They will feel that sense of powerlessness that I felt throughout all of these years. And is it ever destructive to see someone that you love suffer and you can't do shit about it? So please take care of yourself. Please get out of that victimhood of poor me, my life is hard, but you don't understand my situation. Listen, I was severely in debt. My late partner was battling through cancer. I was 22 years old. I did this until I was 27 years old. I lost my apartment. I lost everything. I was eating at food banks. And still, I was more blessed than certain people that were going through a harder time. And so if I was able to get out of it, you can definitely get out of it. You can definitely take matters into your own hand. And the secret is that once you do take your matter into your own hand, you do not have to try to climb on top of that mountain in one step. All you have to do is baby steps. If you have to walk 100 miles to get to your goal, how do you get there? One step at a time. So again, getting out of that victim mindset can simply look like you look at your calendar and scheduling 10 minutes a day to do some exercise or going for a walk if you're not walking. If you're already walking, maybe scheduling 20 minutes every 3 days to do some resistance training. It could look like you going in your kitchen and removing all the processed food that isn't serving you. It could look like sitting down with your husband or your wife and having a conversation like, hey, I really need to change. I don't feel comfortable with how I am. I don't feel healthy. I don't feel my best. And I want to feel my best. If your partner loves you, he will support you or she will support you in that. And so it is in your hands. You have the ability to take those small steps. And I promise you, as you take those small steps, it's a beautiful thing. It's not just one foot in front of the other, but as you progress, that consistency will compound. So one step will become the equivalent of 5 steps, the equivalent of 10 steps, and you'll start to move faster and faster and faster, and you'll get to your goal a lot sooner than you think. But you will never get there if you don't start walking. And so that's what I encourage you all to do in this podcast, is to start walking. Remove yourself from that mindset of poor me. And again, there's some of you that are listening that were in a worse position than what I just described for my own. But at the end of the day, here's a personal belief that I have. There's someone out there in the world in a worse position than I am that is accomplishing more beautiful things than I am. And you can't deny that. You don't know what's happening to someone in Europe, in Africa, in Venezuela, in Australia. You have no idea. But we can pretty much assume that there's someone that has a harder life than you, that is happier, more fulfilled, and doing more than you do. That's pretty much a guaranteed. And so, you know, just see that, you know, depending on what you believe in, but that God gave you a hand of cards, and that's what you have to play with. Your hand may suck right now, but who cares? That's what you have. You have to play it. So freaking, I don't know if you guys ever played poker, but Ivy's been teaching me, because Ivy is my wife. She's the one that she's a TV host for WPT, which is the World Poker Tour. But sometimes you just have to bluff your way through a hand and to win that round, right? I don't know all the terminologies, but sometimes you've been giving a shitty hand and you just bluff your way through it. It's like, all right, cool. I'll do the best that I can with this. And let me just show up to the best of my ability and do the best that I can until you get held another hand of card. Your situation is going to change. I promise, if you simply focus on stepping forward and improving and getting out of that mindset. Getting out of the mindset is the thing that's preventing you from taking one step at a time and learning from those steps that you're taking. So this podcast is there, hopefully, as a wake-up call or as a reminder for some of you, but I hope that it resonated deeply for those of you that are ready to hear this message. And some of you are listening to this and you're like, I don't know, it doesn't really apply to me. That's fine. That's the beauty of being online. This podcast will be around forever. And so maybe you'll re-listen to it in 2 years from now and then it'll just hit. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the same saying over and over and over and over again. And eventually it just clicked. At a light bulb moment, I was like, oh, shit, that does make sense. All right? So get out of that mindset. Get out of the poor me mindset. Take ownership of your life. No one is coming to save you, but there's a lot of people that are there to help you if you're willing to start getting on moving forward. If you want some help from a transformation standpoint, we'd love to have a conversation with you to help you with your goals. If it's with your husband, whatever, there's therapists, there are friends, there are people that you can go to get some help. please get to help. No one gets to the top on their own. Everyone has help. I have several coaches in my life, mentors, friends helping me, an incredible wife that supports me. You don't get there on your own, so don't be afraid to ask for help. So thank you for listening to this podcast episode, everyone, and I will see you next week with an incredible guest on Tuesday. Bye. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.